Welcome back to the Authoracast. My name is Austin Simmons. Thanks for joining us as we continue our discussion of Signia by Hilton Atlanta, the newest addition to Georgia World Congress Center Authority's championship campus. Go ahead and like, subscribe, do all that kind of stuff so you get your notifications and get those automatic downloads of our show to your device each week. Last week, we talked about the food and beverage program at Signia by Hilton Atlanta from a high level, where the ideas come from, where the food is sourced, some trends to keep an eye out for. Thanks again to Terry and Jacob for taking some time to talk with me about that. This week, we're talking with some of the folks behind those meals, the chefs from this new hotspot. Signia by Hilton Atlanta has 8 food and beverage spots, so there's plenty of folks making these experiences great from the kitchen and all around the restaurant. I wanted to get some background on some of the chefs, hear their stories, and see what they're passionate about. And they did not disappoint. I sat down with Executive Chef Christian Quinones, Executive Pastry Chef Daniela Learata, and Chefs Haywell Ortiz and Daniel Palema. All 4 of these folks bring a wealth of experience and knowledge to the kitchens here, and they all have some pretty cool stories about how they ended up in their career and here in Atlanta. So I won't keep you waiting. If you peep the timer on this episode, you'll know we're going to be going a little bit longer than usual, but we have some great stuff. So let's jump into it. First up, a conversation I had with Christian Quinones a couple months back. So as we continue talking about the food and beverage here at the new Signia by Hilton Atlanta Hotel at Georgia World Congress Center, I am joined by Executive Chef Christian Quinones. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Always love talking about food. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and what inspired you to kind of become a chef and what led you here to Signia by Hilton Atlanta?
Sure. So I am originally from Puerto Rico, and in my family, we're accustomed to having like large gatherings and cooking together, grandma, all that. I mean, it's a kind of those stories that they say, oh, grandma inspired me. It is, you know, in my case, it is true. My grandma used to cook for a lot of us. She had a lot of vegetables in house, fruit trees. So it was fun to be at her home and see her work those ingredients. So I think I fell in love as a kid, not thinking that it was gonna be a career for me future wise. I did want it to be an architect. Went through, at some point in my life, my dad got moved to Mexico for his job. So we went, lived in Mexico. It was my senior year, and I wanted to be an architect. So I took some CAD lessons and moved back to Puerto Rico to go to college. While I was there, funny story, my sister just got married. And as she was going through her marriage first months, she wanted to learn how to cook. She never cooked in her life. So she just wanted to be a better wife, I guess, and cook, so have some better ingredients and better technique to be able to execute a little bit better and at home. And she was going to this class, and as she was going in to his culinary classes, she was bringing recipes back home. And I was living with her at the moment while I was going to college. And as I was coming back home, she was practicing, and it was kind of not the best. And I sort of gravitated to those recipes and looking at her information, the information they gave her at her school or place that she was learning from. So I looked at the recipes and I said, maybe I can do that. So I started practicing myself and doing them on my own. And I kind of liked it. But to give you a full answer on this, going back at my beginnings and as a kid, I was always awake very early. And I wanted to see Cartoon Network and see cartoons. Parents were not awake at this weekends, and you know, they want to sleep a little bit over. So I ended up cooking a lot of the stuff myself, which I got in trouble a lot of the times. But for some reason, grandma, me cooking, I always had, and it's very important in my culture in Puerto Rico just to be around food and I guess, you know, the community aspect of it. And then my sister did that, and ultimately I started working with it and seeing it as a discipline, and as a it could be a how would you say a job, right? Because at this point, Food Network was just starting. There's nothing behind it. Like, it was not considered a great position to work as a cook or a server or being a dishwasher, right? So, so then I started thinking, okay, maybe it should be good. This is something that could be good. My dad had high hopes for me, lawyer, architect, something. but I ended up breaking it to him. I'm like, I think I want to cook. I think I want to go to culinary school. And I gave it a shot.
Yeah, very cool. So it seems like it's something you're very passionate about. But, yeah. Going back to, you said your grandma kind of inspired you. Did you have a favorite dish that she made?
Well, she did this. You probably heard of it. Arroz con pollo is very traditional in many Latin cultures because of Spaniards. They brought it over. But my grandma had her arroz con pollo, and it was phenomenal. She used to have an avocado tree, so she took the avocado, sliced it fresh with this dish, and it just reminds me of happy times, you know, being with the family, and everybody was happy, and there's no, and I was a kid, so at that point you're not thinking about anything negative or work or whatever, right? So it was I think that's my favorite dish from her. And the other thing that she did that was amazing was, so we have this thing called soursop, guanabana in Spanish. So soursop is a fruit that is actually sour, has great medicinal aspects of it, right? And she used to do this sort of like a milkshake or smoothie out of guanabana. And it was almost like a dessert type thing, which I loved. And so for some reason, you just remind me of that. Just now when you ask it, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, it's something I can tell you're definitely passionate about, you know, from a young age. So, I mean, what is your philosophy and how does that kind of influence your approach to cooking?
Well, I would say, I mean, if you start with great ingredients, that's the number one thing, because you're going to have a great result. But at the same time, great ingredients and apply great technique, you know, understanding what goes with what in respects to, is it an item that should be grilled? Is it an item that should be sauteed? How are you going to bring out the best qualities out of that ingredient and doing it properly? So I would say that's the philosophy I stand by.
And quality ingredients, what are some of your favorite to work with, and why do you love working with them?
I would say they're simple, but at the same time, you would expect, I don't know how to do recipes without them in a sense. And some, you know, sometimes you can feel lost without, like naked, right,
as a chef? Absolutely, yeah.
And I mean, I can say garlic, say onion. I mean, those two, key for a lot of the things that we do. And a lot of herbs, you know, just herbs gives a lot of different nuances and elevates the dishes. It could refine it. Out of them, I would say thyme was my favorite because of the simplicity that it works well with a lot of different proteins or ingredients. So across the board, it goes well with a lot of things.
One thing that I'm interested in is, just because I'm not that creative in the kitchen, is how you find inspiration whenever you're creating new dishes.
Well, funny enough, and you would think this guy's crazy.
No, of course not.
a lot of the inspiration I find, I'm sleeping. And two-part answer, right? It happens when I'm sleeping, but I know where it comes from, right? So first, it happens when I'm sleeping, and sometimes I've lately stopped doing this, but I usually have a notebook by my nightstand, and if I wake up, I write down, or when I wake up, you know, I write it down. If I wake up in the middle, obviously I woke up, but if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll write it down, because it comes in dreams, but obviously associating things that I've seen and that throughout the day I've experienced, and most of it comes from the actual ingredients, right? I'm not looking for a particular recipe. I do look, for example, go to the markets. One of my favorites is Beaufort Highway or the Cal Farmers Market. And once you start seeing some of these vegetables, you know, the produce that they have is amazing, then your gears start kicking in, and then you see the herb, and then you see your protein, and you're, oh, how about this and that? And then you start pulling from that inventory that you have in your memory of past recipes that could go well with that. I think that's my approach. Obviously, holistically looking at it, not with any specific concept. Well, obviously, if you have a specific concept, I will go towards that route. But yeah, that's I think that's my approach ultimately, and it's worked out so far. And just knowing, understanding ingredients, understanding flavor profile and just being there, being able to see them and touch them and, you know, applying them. I also read a lot too. You know, it's very important for anybody in any trade, right? If you really love what you do, to educate yourself. So I feel like culinary specifically, you definitely have to invest in yourself and like continue. Is your continued study. What was a trend now is not going to be a trend in 2 or 3 years. And there's always new ways of presenting items. There's always regions that you haven't explored. So investing in that way, I have over, I would say like over 100 books. This is my hobby, having culinary books. So I buy a book, like if not two, every month. So I continuously buying books, reading, seeing, and some of those things. I see a chef doing something interesting in Thailand and say, that'll be cool with maybe some of the ingredients that I have locally or I've seen before and apply it that way.
In your opinion, what makes a dish truly exceptional? I would think, with local ingredients,
you might be able to create something. Quality ingredients is number one, but I would say a balance. You don't want to overshadow anything. You want to highlight the ingredients. Sometimes people just, you know, sometimes less is more, right? And people just keep on throwing stuff on the dish and hiding it with garnishes or now the microgreens, like a bunch, just put a micro. It has to have a purpose, right? It has to make sense. If I'm putting a leaf on top of this, it's going to accentuate this vegetable or elevate the sauce that marries this meat. You know, it has to have a purpose. So I think a balance in that dish and that is harmony and it's more like you're traveling to this experience. I think that's the most important part. Being able to do that and to not overpower any of the ingredients. Sometimes we mess with a lot of sauces. You know, if the meat is good, it's good. You don't have to put 10,000 seasonings in it. Really good salt, really good pepper. You know, and do a beautiful sauce. It's plenty, and then accentuate the vegetable. Sometimes we think of the vegetable as a secondary character in the scene, or like afterthought. I bought a ribeye. Let's just grill some asparagus, you know, and put it. Sometimes they should be the star of the dish too, you know. Or sometimes you should think, I am going to peel them. I am going to lightly poach in butter. I'm going to use a specific salt for it, and I'm going to use this specific seasoning that's going to elevate the flavor. And then with that, I am going to have that piece of meat, and that makes sense, you know. Yeah. It depends on what the ingredient is. And
Asparagus doesn't always have to be a supporting role.
Correct.
I like that.
I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
We can sell a lot of it. I'm sure it kind of evolves as, you know, you learn more. You mentioned you read a lot and just moving around different areas, finding out what's local and what's fresh. But do you have a signature dish that you've made either in the past or something you're working on now that you're proud of?
Multiples that comes to mind now, I would say there's one thing that, because it was a challenge. There was an event for Hilton in Orlando for general managers and sales, and it's an honor to be invited to that on a yearly basis, whoever gets to go as a chef. It's like 2,000 people. It's a lot of, it's a big group. And I luckily got chosen to be part of this magnificent event. And I was giving the vegan. We were like 26 chefs. And I'm talking about a lot of stations. Obviously, there's a lot of people. And there's people representing. It was a fun event because they were even going to heirloom varietals and how Indian cultures had recipes with them in Arizona and in other parts of the states. And I had a station that was all vegan. Which was challenging, but I like challenges, fun too. At the same time, you know, sometimes you don't think of those some types of cuisine that you don't put a lot of effort sometimes, and you say, well, you know, I should. Like for example, the vegetable we were just talking about. If I feel that I'm not comfortable there, I should invest more time there so I can develop myself. And at this point, I got it, and I was really psyched. I was like, wow, okay, this is gonna be a challenge, but it's gonna be amazing. Because first of all, it's great to have vegan food for vegan people, but it's a different thing for you to think of it as just it's food. It's just not vegan or not. It's really good food that you're going to serve that anybody would like, you know, instead of focusing on it's for vegans. No, how can I make this a vegan dish, but it's a dish that anybody loves? And that's how it should be approached. And So I started thinking, and I love our Peruvian food. I love a lot of the flavor profiles, their combinations, their freshness of the dishes, you know, seafood and the ceviche, tiraditos type of food, and the little hints of acidity and spice. And one of my favorite dishes is ceviche with ají amarillo. And I was thinking, how can I do this sort of similar? Peruvian cuisine has... it's so rich because it has different cultures involved there. They have Japanese, which they call Nikkei. They have Chinese, it's Chifa. And then they have the Creole from also Africans that came in Peru. And they have a world of different food items that are amazing and recipes. So in the ají amarillo recipe of this particular dish that I love, it's a combination of Japanese immigrants with the local ingredients. And so they use usually tuna on this, on this particular ceviche. And I was thinking, how can I replicate this in a vegan setting? And so I thought watermelon, because then you start thinking color, right? How can I match a tuna color? And then texture-wise, I said watermelon. But watermelon usually is very watery, and it's not necessarily as texture-wise as the flesh of a fish.
Sure.
So I started thinking of ways that I could create that and create like almost a seafood type taste to that watermelon. So I don't know how I got it, to be honest. I don't even remember. I know I did it and it came out good. I bought kombu, so the seaweed from Japan, dried version, and then I soaked it in water. It's very briny, very salty. And it tastes like the ocean. So what I did is I cut the watermelon like in a saku block type, you know, when you get the already sliced portion of tuna. And then I wrapped it in that kombu, and then I compressed it. So I sucked all the air out in with my cryovac machine. So it basically opens up the pores and then close it out once it compresses. So once it opens up, it takes all the seafood or sea flavor out of the kombu into the tuna, and then it seals it, sucks it in, so it compresses it inside that flavor. And I left it there for 3 days, just steeping in that getting the flavors of that kombu. And it's funny because once you take it out, it's like the seaweed, it tends to be a little slimy. So opening it, it looked a little gnarly. You're like, okay, that's, I don't know if I did this one justice. But as you clean it and wipe it down and take it off, the texture, it was amazing what it did to the texture as well. It came almost like a fish. It was like bouncy. It was not as watered down. The water came out of it. So it was almost like gummy. It had a bite to it, and then it had the slight sea taste, and salinity of the ocean water that you would expect in a fish. And it was amazing. And I put it together with that regular ají amarillo leche de tigre, which is the sauce, basically the marinade, some pickled mushrooms, and it was an amazing dish. People were coming and they were like, and I was like, wow, okay, it came out. You know, it was one of those moments that you say, okay, I winged this one, but it came out, you know? And one of those recipes that you now carry forever, and you're like, okay, I'm going to apply this in the future. That's a great technique.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's something I never would have thought of. But what kind of trends or developments do you see in the culinary world that kind of get you excited right now?
Well, as we were talking just now about regionality and talking about Georgia, I think, and this been happening for a while, but as the years keep on coming, we're sort of more narrowing down more the areas where we're working at and very, very investing in the farming aspect of the location and getting to things that are more local. That's very important, and then at the same time building recipes around that location, as we were talking about Atlanta. I think that's a trend that I'm really excited about because of investing in the community here. Mm-hmm. And you can see the progress here, and you can, or wherever you're at, right, in your community. I think that's one of the most fun aspects of being able to cook, is you tell stories, and you can tell a story of the area you're at by the food you're producing. And if you can marry where that ingredient came from to the execution of it and a great memorable meal to a guest, I think that you did something great. So I'm excited for that, to see more people doing that. I see a lot of Michelin coming into different cities. You just join Atlanta. I'm not saying that everybody should win a Michelin, or we should aim at that, because there's something for everybody. But it creates a lot of noise around food, mm-hmm. right, in the sure. area, and with that, a lot of investment in developing the area for all types of restaurants, casual or fine dining, whatever the case may be. But at the same time, investing in who our purveyors are, who's giving us the fish, who's giving us, you know, the meats, are they sustainable, or how are we doing for sustainability and impacting those efforts, and sourcing from people that are doing good practices, and they're hyper local or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's good for the city, and it's good for a lot of cities, and you'll see a lot of people investing in their areas, investing in their farmers, and investing in bringing out what is the place they're at. You know, yeah. How can I teach you with my food? You're in Georgia, you're in Atlanta, or you're in Colorado, or you're in Miami, or wherever you're at. I think that you're gonna see more of that, and I appreciate that.
All right, as we continue our conversation about food and beverage here at the new Signia by Hilton Atlanta, I am joined by Daniela, the pastry chef. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
If you can you start off just by telling us a little bit about your background and what inspired you to become a chef?
So I am born and raised in Caracas, Venezuela. What inspired me? I don't know what inspired me. But I've always liked pastry. I started on the savory side when I went to culinary school, and I found my way to feel comfortable in the kitchen, and that was through having my pastry classes. When I was doing the savory side, I just didn't feel right. I felt uncomfortable. I was even annoyed by the smell of the fish. And I was like, no, this is not right. But when I was working with doughs or flour, I was very happy. So I understood that pastry was my thing, but I had to finish my culinary side, so I was able to finish both careers at the same time. So that's how I started in this world.
And what's your culinary philosophy, and how does it kind of influence your approach to cooking and baking?
So my philosophy would be to respect the product, to respect the ingredients, and that's kind of like what drives me through on my day-to-day as I create menus. We work with amazing ingredients, chocolate, sugar, butter, the fruits. So I really try to understand each component and let them do the best that they do. You know, the fruit, let it shine. The chocolate, let it do the main ingredient in the dish, because we do work with amazing product. So I think sometimes you try to do too much, and then when the guests are eating their dessert, they can't really tell what is that I'm eating. So I'm trying, that's my philosophy, to try to avoid that, and a little bit more simple but still elevated and nice.
You mentioned chocolate and butter, and it kind of makes me laugh, because in my house we go through a lot of chocolate and a lot of butter. There's never enough butter in the fridge, but that could be a conversation for another day. Can you share just some of your favorite ingredients to work with and why you love working with them?
I love working with chocolate. I'm from Venezuela, as I said before, and we have an amazing cacao. There's a region that it's called Chuao. That's where the most exotic cacaos are harvest. It's actually very particular because of the weather and the environment, that the terroir from Chuao is very particular. So you can't find that environment in any other country. So it's you can't find that cacao a lot. you might find Trinitario or any other type of chocolate. So I think that's why I enjoy working with chocolate. It's more interesting. It's very picky. I actually think that chocolate chooses you than the instead of the other way, because it's so particular and there's so much science and understanding behind it that you have to really respect it and take your time to work with it.
I imagine inspiration comes from a lot of different places, but how do you find inspiration for creating new dishes?
Actually, it's weird. My process is, I'm sure that every chef has a process, but my process is I take a few days. You know, I've worked with chefs that they want the menus like right away, and I always tell them, you know, it just doesn't, my brain doesn't work that way. There sometimes is, if it's something on the fly, for sure. But when you're creating, like what we're about to be creating, you know, you really want to take your time to understand a lot of things, you know, from seasonality, to team, what do we have a strong team that is going to be able to execute it. And then once you check all your boxes, then I kind of like go into my solo moment and I start like getting my books, even on Instagram sometimes, or even I could be just looking at something and my team's like, what's going on with you? And I could be just be randomly looking at something. It's just my brain doing its thing, you know? So I think inspiration comes from, even when you work with chocolate, when I do chocolate showpieces, I could be looking at something at a lamp and I would always think, oh, wow, that would be really cool to do it as a chocolate showpiece.
What are some of the biggest challenges you faced in the industry and how did you manage to overcome them?
Oh, I think being a woman in the industry is definitely, it has been a challenge. I think those challenges led me to where I am right now, because thank God I have an amazing chef that supports me and respects me. And I would say that I'm in my best moment right now. When you surround yourself from people that respect what you do and try to understand your pastry brain, it's beautiful. But I think being a woman in this industry is not easy. Not only that, being a woman, a mom as well, you know, it's not easy, because of course the industry, I think there's a mindset that it requires long hours or you have to sacrifice this in order to get this. So I'm happy to say that I'm starting to see a change in the industry, and I'm happy to be part of that change, that where you find the balance into having a career, being a mom, being a woman, and still be able to succeed and to grow. So that has been one of the challenges, but I think it's starting to change.
And what trends or developments do you see in the culinary world that excite you the most right now?
I'm extremely excited, and now that I came from Chicago, that I'm excited that the pastry is, I'm talking about in my area, talking about pastry, I'm excited that the tendency is to do smaller desserts, less sweet, less steps. It more about enjoying. Even if you do two small desserts, that's also that I'm starting to see what we call the intermezzo, and then the dessert. You know, so you can still showcase some dessert product in the intermezzo. Just letting the guests stop for a minute, enjoy that moment, that little step, that little ice cream or a little sorbet, even a bonbon, something to clean your palate, mm-hmm. and stop for your meal for a moment, and then continue to enjoy, and then you have another smaller dessert. I think that's a new tendency that I like and I can identify with, because I put myself in that case that you already ate eight different meals, and then no one wants dessert, and that happens to us a lot, you know, but you're waiting for a table to order, and then at the end they just decide to not have dessert, of course, because they are extremely stuffed and they just don't want anything. So I also like that the a lot of chefs are really keeping in mind the dessert point when they create their menu, so they can be balanced throughout the whole meal, so people can still feel good about enjoying the dessert and making sure that they do enjoy the dessert. So you don't have this huge plate of pasta and then, no, I don't want anything. I don't want any chocolate or something like that. So I like that how it's starting to be more smaller and more personalized.
And as we continue our conversation about food and beverage offerings at the new Signia by Hilton Atlanta here at Georgia World Congress Center, we're joined by Chef Haywell Ortiz. Haywell, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, I guess, you know, just starting off, can you tell me a little bit about your background and what inspired you to get into this profession?
Well, my background, I want to put first the what inspired me was my mom. I mean, I came in from Latin family. Are you always going around the kitchen, no? That's normal in Latin families, right? So I always had that little thing in my heart that I love to cook. I learn everything from my mom, right, that bakes his stuff. So when I started going to the college, right, so I decided to pay my college doing catering service. So I started doing that and was well for 4 years, right? I paid all my college off and what was an amazing experience, right? And at the same time, I was reading. I read a lot. I love to read books, right? And some of my friends are chef already in that moment. And they say, buy this book. It's going to be nice. You have talent. I always say, no. And yeah, because my degree is in business management, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, nah, I don't think so. That's for you. I just do this hobby and because I need to pay my stuff. But I always had that love for food, right? Because I was doing right. I have a lot of business. So I say, oh, I'm doing something good and I do my job the right way. So people like it, keep booking me, my catering service. And that's the way I just pay my college, right? After that, it's a big opening in Puerto Rico in the Ritz-Carlton. So Jose Andres coming to the island to open a restaurant. So one of my friends shoot me a message, say, hey, what do you think about this? And I said, no, are you crazy? That's something I never go through my mind, you know? And he said, no, try, just try. I said, all right, let's go, try. So I get hired. And I got hired at the last one in Jose Andres restaurant, and that's my career start over there. That's the first time I cooked like a professional, right, in the kitchen. And I used to work for Jose Andres for like 3 years and a half. It was an amazing experience. So I started getting the real love. I said, no, I want to do this. That's what I want to do. But it's hard. Starting right, cause I start without any experience, or everybody in the kitchen was like more experienced than me, right? But I get it, I take it, and I running everything. So that's one. The first time after that, I get a opportunity to travel to move to Sonoma, California, right? Mm-hmm. So I moved them in 2016, I guess. Yeah, and that's when everything started. Like, everybody was talking to me, like, California produce and food, and I always say, yeah, sure, right? But you never experience until you get there, right? Until you get to the hotel that have their own farm, and you get the produce fresh, and you get the peppers, just the freshness, right? Mm-hmm. And I start falling more in love with the California food and all the kind of stuff, right? And I said, I love this. I mean, I love this kind of environment. Like, you have farmers, like, you just pick up the phone and call them, and you have the freshness by season. That's something like it's deep in my heart. Even I started that career with Jose Andres, Spanish food in Mediterranean. So moving forward with my career around the year, so I did few stash in Michelin star restaurant at the same time in California. And after that, I just moved to Texas to start working on the Ritz-Carlton, and it's a big change because you coming from California where you have everything fresh, and then you move to Texas. It's nothing bad. It's beautiful too. They have their own produce and their own season, right? Because they have the microclimate in there and different than California. But I try to mix that what I learned from Jose Andres technique, right, and apply to the produce I can find in Texas and try to merge together to place a nice food on the table. After that, after 5 years in Texas, I moved to start working in Montage in Biscayne, Montana. It's another big change, but it's beautiful. Bit. Yeah, a little bit. but I mean, I just love I think always that the way you see the place you move, you just apply the technique you learn at the beginning and that's applied to the place you move, right? The ingredients you can find there, and then you create something magic, right, as mm-hmm. a food. And then I moved back to Monterey, California. It's amazing, and then I'm here.
And is that exciting to kind of be in a new place that, you know, you mentioned before we started recording that, you know, you're new to the area. So is that exciting, kind of being able to bring what you learned to other places, but then have new things to work with, new produce and new products to work with?
I like challenge, right? And yes, that's something like I just going through my mind. As a chef, I say, yes, I want to do this. I want to see how is that area and that area of the United States I've never been before. And I know I have a lot of culture around that and or the thing you can find here, the farms and stuff like that. Yes, pretty excited.
And I'm sure it's probably changed since you've, you know, lived in California, Texas, Montana. But are there any favorite ingredients that you like to work with or something that you're maybe looking forward to working with here in Georgia?
I love to work by season. I create my menu by season, right? I'm just waiting to work with okra. I know it's a tricky ingredient to work with, but I know we can get something great from them, applying different techniques the way you can cook the produce or you can see the produce. And favorite ingredient, like I say, by season, I love sunshocks because it's earthiness, but it's something that clean that you can add any flavor without change the profile of the main ingredient, right? I love lemons because lemon, you can balance anything. And that's there. I love garlic. You can add garlic to anything, it's better. Yeah. I mean, but by season, yes. Springtime, so you can have all the greens on your plate. And summertime, you have the beautiful tomatoes, sweetness, acidity at the same time, depending on the variety of the tomato, of course. But yeah, depending on the season. But mostly, I love lemons because you can fix sauces or you can elevate the brightness of any dish with lemon, right? And garlic, you can add it to anything. It's awesome.
Very cool. And, you know, how do you find inspiration for new dishes? I'm sure, you know, with just seeing new things, whether it's, you know, at a farmer's market or somebody had mentioned, you know, out on a hike and saw mushrooms and they said, hey, there's something right there I can work with. I mean, is that something that kind of plays into how you come up with things?
Actually, yes. Like you say, hike. I love to hike. Where I come from in Puerto Rico is like up in the mountains. So I always... Okay. Grow by greeneries and stuff like that. As that's something like I say to Terry when I moved here, say, I was thinking this is a flat city, but it's park everywhere. It's green in the same city. It's like a city bird on the forest, right? And mainly as my inspiration came from farmers market, but most if I go to get an inspiration to do something, I need to take a day hike by myself alone. I always take my notebook and something came to me always. I love to break down pines, different types, smell it. So it's kind of process in my mind. I attach aromas from different kind of plants of pines so I can create something. Something pops in my mind, all right, lamb. I like this kind of pine because it's the aroma is soft, is gentle, but it's at some point like punching, but it's not that heavy. So that's one of the process. When I go to I used to have a farm in my last job in California, and the farmer he say, what do you want, chef? They say, put something like by season, and he always go by season, right? He say, you want this? I say, perfect, I like it. So if you go to your land, right, and you pick up a carrot, right, and you clean it a little bit, and you break it and you eat it, it's way different. The flavor, the sweetness, it's changed totally. So you can create something. And another thing is like when I create dishes, if I have a farm, if I have a beautiful peppers, I don't like to touch more of the pepper. I want you to try my food and you feel the flavor of the peppers, right? That's kind of my inspiration.
And trying to keep up with trends or, you know, different developments that pop up along the way, whether you're working with, you know, classic ingredients and trying to make a classic dish. I mean, do you kind of try to weave those in, or how do you keep up with trends and kind of,
you know? I French cooking and French food is always staple, right? Because it's the mother of the things, right? I use a lot of French technique and French recipe and try to tweak a little bit and to create something Italian, right? So I want to give you an example, right? So the lobster thermidor, right, is a bechamel base and Gruyere cheese sauce for the lobster, right? So I take those techniques, so I apply Italian cheese, taleggio. So I do the lobster, I cut it, whatever. I do the base of the sauce instead of the bechamel. I create a nice citrus base cream that go well with the lobster. The head, I take the head, cook it in sunflower oil with a lot of citrus and garlic, slow for 1 hour, and then I blend it up everything and strain it for 1 day. And then you have a beautiful citrus. It's you need to feel it in your mouth, the balance between lobster flavor and citrus, the finishing oil for the pasta. And you serve that with paccheri pasta, and it's amazing. And then you taleggio cheese on top, grated, and you have an amazing dish. It's something like I've been putting in different places when I've been working, because it's a top seller. People love it.
As we continue talking about the food and beverage options here at the New Signia by Hilton Atlanta Hotel at Georgia World Congress Center, I'm joined by Daniel Palaima, part of the food and beverage team over there. Thanks for joining us, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So if you could just dive right into it, can you tell me a little bit about your background and what inspired you to become a chef?
I started as a dishwasher looking for a summer job. Pretty humble beginning. I had no intentions of cooking, although I've been told I was always with my mom in the kitchen, so maybe it was subliminal. But I was a dishwasher growing up in Santa Barbara County, and I guess I fell in love with the lifestyle and being able to try new food. And I was kind of mentored around some really good chefs and in my early career that really pushed me. And I guess that's where I'm at now.
Cool. Yeah. Would you say some of those chefs you kind of were introduced to early on, did that kind of influence like what kind of cook you are now? What kind of chef you are now?
Even going back to that dishwashing setup, it was my chef didn't even give me any type of training. It was, silverware on the stainless steel, and I had to kind of figure things out on my own. And I think that kind of made me better in the end, although it was quite hard.
If sometimes people talk about a culinary philosophy, the way they look at things, I mean, just could you break that down? What's your culinary philosophy, and kind of how do you approach whenever you're looking at different dishes, I guess?
Sustainable. I try to stay modern as possible, so you're relevant. And I like to cook plate with purpose. I see things to, when you add like a mint sprig on dessert and you have a zero mint in there, it's like the first thing to come off. Just like utilizing forage products. We have a different style out here than like California, where I'm from. So it takes a little bit more searching, but you can get pretty creative out here with the wild onions, the local chanterelles after the rain, and other greens, even to like pine saplings. It's kind of fun.
Is that exciting? Is that kind of daunting or something? Coming to a new place and kind of seeing the landscape and what you have to work with.
Yeah, I was when I went out on a hike and saw those chanterelles, I was extremely excited. I'd gone mushroom foraging before in California, but I never found any. And out here, it was really cool. I only picked those because I knew exactly what they were. But not so much daunting, more exciting.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, would that be some of your favorite ingredients, mushrooms, anything else that you can think of?
I just like fresh. For favorite ingredient, it's so hard. It's like whatever's fresh, whatever's in season, and the seasons are completely different. I was super excited to, for this year with, moving to Georgia and the peaches. Everybody hears about the peaches. And then what happened? We had kind of a bad year because of the weather. Mm-hmm. And, that puts things into perspective. And so you just have to, utilize what you have and be grateful for what you have in that moment, and then look forward for the next year.
Looking at kind of inspiration from, how, you know, you come about dishes, or if you think of something new? I mean, is that kind of just seeing what ingredients are available, like you mentioned coming to Georgia and seeing those mushrooms? I mean, is that something that kind of gets things rolling, if that makes sense in your head?
Yeah, I think that when it comes on inspiration, it's kind of hard to invent new products. You know, a lot of it's been done. It's like, it's how you utilize them, I think, is what really makes the chef the chef. You know, I love following chefs. I love watching what other restaurants are doing. I love looking at the photos. And most of the time when I'm searching through photos or whatnot, you might see something with sea bass, and then you get like a chicken or a steak idea, you know? Mm-hmm. It's much easier to create something with three ingredients than like say 10,000, you know, like if we got to go to a grocery store. You know, when it comes to favorite ingredients, I do think back, like when I grew up in the Santa Barbara County, I had a really awesome experience with trees of, you know, produce all around us. Green almonds is one of my favorites, only because, you know, it really kind of signifies that beginning of spring. The green almond season is so small. It's like 5 to 6 weeks, and you have to pick them right when they're ready, or they start to develop. Green almonds are like cucumbers, you know, on the tree. It's so much fun. Ferment them, serve them raw. Even cook them, put them in some pasta. So I'm kind of missing that, you know, but, that'll be my favorite grade.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully you can find, something new, new inspiration here in Georgia. You know, I mean, is there anything you're really looking forward to cooking with?
The mushrooms, amazing. Right now I'm getting really into looking at all the local proteins out here, or just in the Appalachians. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that the whole area of the South, it has its own, what are you going to say? Like the South has its own, ingredient style. Like, I don't know.
Sure.
For me, I guess the time I did find those, mushrooms, mm-hmm. Definitely changed my outlook, and just cooking that with some broccoli and some ham, making an omelet, you know, for mm-hmm. myself was just so it, getting close to where food comes from, and knowing that you're having like a lot of nutrients, because that's a big deal for me. Like mm-hmm. I knew that I definitely was enjoying my time. So
yeah, is that cool? Kind of coming to a new place and being able to see not just what people eat, but how it kind of all comes together.
Yeah. Kind of going into like travel, mm-hmm. one of my main reasons why I do love my job is I get to travel a lot. You know, living in Europe, the Caribbean, different large cities in the United States, everybody has their own styles. Chicago has an insane cocktail program. Their food scene is top level. California has some amazing produce. You know, the Caribbean has its own style, where I had to learn how to, you know, utilize citrus and different fruits. And I definitely can see, you know, the
inspiration. Is there a dish that you've made before, or maybe just an exceptional dish is what I'm getting at, but, you know, is there like that kind of aha moment, you know, when you're a kid and you finally figure out how to hit a baseball or something like that, you know, that feel or something like that where it kind of clicks in your head and you said, that was it. I just did that.
Yeah. I mean, that happens. It happens every once in a while. You know, you might be like, oh, sometimes I impress myself. I don't know. It's kind of fun. You know, you can always have like kind of a game with some of the other cooks next to you, you know, like who can create, you know, the best one, or, you know, it's always a challenge. We're always trying to, you know, one up each other, or, you know, and the food's always evolving. So, I always look at it like, how can I make this better? And if there might be that aha moment, but then tomorrow it's back to the drawing board. You know,
I like that. Yeah. So, I mean, just how is it keeping up with that, with everything constantly? I mean, I'm sure that keeps you on your toes? And maybe is that something you kind of you like about being in the kitchen, is that things are constantly moving and constantly evolving like that, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's super fun how even just different kitchens have their own style, you know, and, mm-hmm. And working with that there, you know, my background is luxury and high volume, some fine dining aspects, but you know, do we eat like that all the time? You know, so is it as relevant? Well, what's more relevant is, you know, getting some, you know, well-cooked food at a decent price and you feel satisfied. You know, I'd go out and get an Italian panini or something like that over some Philly Fally and cowbell. You know, I guess that's kind of what they'll call it, you know.
And, you know, a lot of just different local produce and stuff like that here in the state of Georgia, different proteins, like you mentioned. I mean, are there any that you're excited about being able to work with? I know you mentioned the mushrooms. Yeah. Really anything now that you're here and you've kind of seen around, anything that you're kind of saying, ooh, I can't wait to work with that?
Yeah, I mean, I like to go to some of the farmers markets. I probably go every other weekend. I'm a huge Formula One fan, so gotcha. Sometimes it makes it a little difficult when you have a nice early race. But you know, I've been getting to know a lot of the farmers in the area, like at some of these farmers markets. Mm-hmm. Whether it might be, what was it like, crack in the sidewalk? I believe mm-hmm. There's a farm. It's like an urban farm, and they do. It's really really small, but it's always like very unique. And that's like right in Atlanta. I also like talking to some of the local, I guess like, what would it be? You know, like the beef farmers, you know, I'll talk to the guys that are selling, you know, just, well, I guess hearts. I like eating beef heart, you know? So getting some fresh grass fed, you know that it's been flash frozen, ready to go. Yeah, amazing. I'm really looking forward to experimenting with a little bit more of what the coast has from Georgia. I haven't really seen too much yet. I really need to get out there.
So much good stuff happening in food and drink over at this new hotel. I've had some of it already, and I will definitely be back soon enough. Thank you so much to Christian, Daniela, Haywell, and Daniel for taking some time to talk with me. It was great getting to know them and what they'll be whipping up. And if that doesn't make you hungry and want you to check out these new restaurants, I don't know what will. Anyways, thanks again for sitting down with me, y'all. Also, thank you to Kenny Monteith and Avita McDaniels for helping put this season together. This has been the AthoraCast, a production of Georgia World Congress Center Authority. Thanks for hanging out with us. Until next time, we'll see you later. We'll be right back.